Let's give him a praise tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I am reading tonight from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Begin reading at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. Open your heart to the Word of God. Let's see what God will do for us here tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. Paul speaking, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." In this same chapter, or same book, the ninth chapter, Paul states there, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 20. Well, let's read not verse 19. "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Praise the Lord. I guess the first thing I need to tell you tonight is this. I am not of this persuasion that the days of revival is over. I am now preaching to my fourth generation. Recently preaching up at Brother Strickler's, William Strickler's. I preached to a young man that sat on the front seat by the name of Morgan. I preached to his great grandmother and great grandfather. I preached to his grandmother and his grandfather. I preached to his mother and father. And then that day I was preaching to him and his children. So I've been around a while, and I still believe in a revival. However, I do believe that we have a different generation now than we've ever had to minister to. And I believe in dealing with this generation, we must have the right approach in order to have a revival in this hour. The portion of Scripture that I've read to you is a very familiar portion of Scripture. Many sermons have been preached from this passage. I do not attempt to bring something new to you, but rather refresh your minds of a gospel that is always up to date. Now, when the Apostle Paul tells us of his ministry at different times, he says, "I became all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." He tells us he did not use the same approach in all localities in the preaching of the gospel. He said to the Jews, "I became as a Jew, to them that were without the law, as without the law, to them that were under the law, as under the law, to the weak I became as weak. I became all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Now, mind you, he preached the same gospel everywhere, because there is just one gospel to preach. There is no other gospel than the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but by the name of Jesus. Oh, there is no other good news other than the good news that Jesus came, that he died and was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, and that he's coming back again in the clouds of glory to receive those that have accepted him as the Lord of their lives. There is better news, and that's this, that you and I can identify with him by dying out to sin in our lives. And the Bible said we could be buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. This is the new birth. This is the gospel that Paul preached in all places. And he put a curse in Galatians 1 and 8 on anyone. You think I'm fanatic? This man says, if there comes anyone else or even an angel from heaven and preaches any other gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. And he said, I tell you again, if we are an angel from heaven come preaching any other gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. However, the Apostle Paul did use different approaches in different places in preaching the gospel. Oh yes, when he preached to the Jews who already had a knowledge of God the Father but did not believe in Jesus Christ as a Messiah, the Son of God, he normally went first to their synagogues and to their marketplaces. And the Bible states in several places, and the Bible uses this term, that he disputed with them and he reasoned with them and he alleged with them out of the Old Testament. You see, Paul was well schooled in the Old Testament. You know, he knew the Word of God. Oh, and the old law, he was a scholar of that law. So he would go to the Jews and he'd take the Old Testament scriptures that their prophets had prophesied, and then he would take those prophecies and point so directly to the ministry of Jesus Christ, and thus proving that Christ was the Messiah. Oh yes, that's the way Paul dealt with the Jews. But now when he went to the Greeks in the city of Athens, when he got there, he saw a city wholly given to idolatry. He realized he was dealing with a different type of people. Oh yes, he was dealing with a people, oh, different than the Jews who already believed in the one true Jehovah God. But now he's dealing with a people who have many gods and many superstitions, but had not the true Jehovah God. Oh, they had their philosophers. They had their idols. They had their thinkers. They had their Greek mythology. And they had their intellects who thought truth could be found through intellect. But I must tell you tonight, you'll never get smart enough to be saved. You'll never learn enough or be educated high enough to be saved. They had their intellects. But I want to tell you right here, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You never get smart enough to be saved. I used to think when I had to preach to those heathens, and I've preached to many people who have never heard the gospel before. I was the first man to bring them the gospel. I used to think, now what I've got to do is try to sharpen these fellows' minds up and let them see that they need to be saved. But I found out what I needed to do is lift up Jesus and lift up the name of the Lord. And once I got their faith, believing that Christ went to Calvary and that he died for their sins, oh yes, faith come up by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the Bible said it, Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. So Paul, he's there in Athens. He takes a stroll up on Mars Hill while he's waiting on Timothy to join him there. And he sees something there that strikes his mind, like all of us preachers. that's always looking for a new theme or a new thought. He was looking by all, passing by all their idols, looking at all their altars, and all of a sudden he sees this inscription on one of their altars, says, "Unto the unknown God." I believe a bell went off in his head. So right there's what you're looking for. Amen. That's your theme. Right there's your text. Right there's your theme for the day. So he goes and he says to those men, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that you're too superstitious. For I beheld this inscription among your idols, an inscription to the unknown God." And he said, "I'm going to use that inscription for my text today. It's going to be the foundation of my sermon." He said, "You ignorantly worship the unknown God, but when I get through today, he will not be the unknown God anymore. I'm going to declare him unto you. He is a God that was not made by hands. He's a God that created the heavens and the earth." Oh, yes, he is. "And he one time winked at your ignorance, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Woo! That's the approach Paul used on Mars Hill. But now this same Paul, when he comes to the city of Corinth, where I took my text, he realized he'd have to use a different approach because he could not reason and dispute with these Corinthians out of the Word of God in the Old Testament. He realized he could not deal with the people like he dealt with the Greeks, for Corinth was a city of multi-nationalities and multi-religions. According to history and according to our maps, Corinth was a port city, a place of wealth and prosperity. Consequently, it was a city of depravity and sin. Every sin, every devious act that you could find could be found there in Corinth. It was commonplace among them, every filthy sin that you could imagine. Oh, this generation thinks you're coming up with some new sins. I must tell you, there ain't no new sins. It's all just old sins dressed up in new clothes. But it's the same old sins. And in that day, the men in Corinth, they could go to one of their temples, and in the name of the God of that temple, they could obtain a prostitute, male or female, and they commit this ungodly act of immorality with that prostitute, and do it all in the name of religion. According to history, there was no moral code. Oh, and Paul realized he was in a vile place, and he walks in there and he says, "I can't dispute with these people like I did the Jews out of the Old Testament. They're not going to hear me. And I can't talk to them like I did to the Greeks up there on Mars Hill. I must find an approach to the city of Corinth." And here's what he said, and where I take my text tonight. He said, "When I came unto you, I came not with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for I determined to know nothing among you but Christ and him crucified." And then Paul says, even though reasoning with them will not get their attention, and dealing with them like I did with the Greeks will not get their attention, I know one thing that will work. He said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it was in demonstration of the power and of the Spirit." He said, "These people, I can't just tell them God is real. I must show them with the demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost, that their faith might not stand in the wisdom of men, but that their faith would stand in the power of God." Hear what I must tell you tonight. If I had to compare these different cultures and various societies that Paul ministered to and compare them to our day and select one that was most closely related to our society today, I'd have to choose Corinth. For we are dealing with a group of people. You cannot approach them with the intellectual approach because they're smarter than we are. The Bible said they would. Said the children of the darkness, the children of the night, will be wiser than the children of light in their generation. You cannot deal with them this way. Oh no, you cannot reason with them. You cannot dispute with them. They're too smart. And you say, well, maybe we can get their attention with talent. They have talent too. Oh yeah, your choir sang beautiful. And we have a lot of good talent. But they've got professionals. And then we said, well, we'll build beautiful buildings. They've got more beautiful buildings. I must declare unto you tonight that the only way we're going to get the attention of this generation is to have another demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Well, praise God. The word demonstration means to show by example, to display, to put on display. Someone told me here a while back, well, it hadn't been very long ago, said they used to come and look in our windows to see what was taking place in there. I said, yeah, but they don't do that anymore because we don't have nothing in there for them to see. Hallelujah. Hear what I'm telling you tonight. Hallelujah. Demonstration. After you've read all of the books, after you've attended all the seminars, amen, after you've listened to all the tapes, amen, after you've got involved in every church growth program there is, there's only one thing that's going to reach this generation, and that's for the church, those of us that have the Holy Ghost, to pray, God, give us another demonstration of your power and your Holy Ghost fire. When I was pastoring up there in Kansas City, right along with you up there, and you was at another church, I wasn't as smart as I am now. That was back before I got smart. But I had a family started coming to the church. This guy was a vacuum cleaner salesman. Sold Speed Queen vacuum cleaners. And he approached me one night. Said, Brother Rich, I want to come to your house and give you and Sister Rich a demonstration on my vacuum cleaner. And I said, well, I don't think so. I'll let you know. And then I got to thinking, you know, if I don't let him come, he might quit the church. That was before I found out if people want to serve God, they'll serve God. And if they don't want to serve God, you can buy their vacuum cleaners. You can buy their home interior. Amen. You can buy their Tupperware. You can buy their herbs. You can buy everything they're selling in the Holiness Church. But if they don't want to live for God, they're not going to live for God. And if they want to live for God, they'll live for God whether you buy anything from them or not. So I talked to Sister Rich. I said, well, I'm not going to buy one. She said, well, it's okay. He told me, he said, Brother Rich, I get just as much. No, he said, I get something. I forget how, but I get something for giving a demonstration, whether you buy or not. You don't have to buy. So I said, okay, come on. So we set the appointment. And I don't know whether the rest of you line your wives out or not, but I lined my wife out before they got there. I said, now I want to tell you something. You sit right down there and listen. We are not going to buy no vacuum cleaner. Okay? This guy, he went by and got his boss and brought him with him. And they walked into my house, introduced his boss to me, and he said very little from then on. The boss did all the talking. Now, we've moved, Sister Rich and I. We've moved, I think, 29 times, haven't we? Still got some of the furniture we started with. Oh, man, it's gone. But we still got it. At that time, we'd moved about 20 times. That old furniture was just about ready to fall apart. This guy looked around and said, you sure got some nice furniture in here. I didn't know that was part of the sales pitch. How old are you, Mr. Rich? And I told him, he said, you don't look near that old. Well, I didn't know that was part of the sales pitch. He said he took masking tape and masked off about a square yard of carpet He said, go bring your present vacuum cleaner in here. So I went and brought it in. And he said, all right, I want you to vacuum this square up as good as you possibly can with your vacuum cleaner. And Sister Rich said, I'll get it. And I said, oh no, I'll get this one. And I vacuumed that thing this way.
First time for
everything. And I vacuumed it this way. And then I vacuumed it diagonally across. I said, all right. He got his vacuum cleaner out, put a little white cloth down there somewhere, went over that same area I went over three times, started vacuuming, and pretty soon he stopped his vacuum, took out that cloth, and there was sand and dirt and particles that his vacuum cleaner picked up that mine had not picked up. Then he took a steel ball and he said, look at the vacuum in this thing. He rolled that steel ball across that carpet and he took that hose and that steel ball would follow that hose right across that carpet. He went on showing me all the features. Said, do you ever come in stressed out? I was pastoring Wyandotte Tabernacle. What do you think? About 200 renegades up there. And I was pastoring, trying to make holiness people. And we did make holiness people out of some of them. Hallelujah. I said, oh yes. Well, he said, listen, this little gizmo right here, when you come in all stressed out, all you got to do is put this on the end of your vacuum hose. And immediately you've got a vibrator. Said, you never seen a vibrator this big, have you? 8-foot vibrator. I was standing there letting him vibrate my shoulders. I don't know what happened. Next thing you know, I had out my checkbook. I was writing out a check. And the fella left smiling. When they got gone, Sister Rich said, I thought you was not going to buy a vacuum cleaner. I said, he must have hypnotized me. No, he did not hypnotize me. He demonstrated his product and sold me on that product. Folks, we got something better than a Speed Queen vacuum cleaner. We've got the power of the Holy Ghost. What we need to do is demonstrate what God has given us and vested in the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Until we have a demonstration of the power. Once again, oh, we've got fine talent. Oh, we've got great preachers. We've got great sermons. We've got many things, amen, going for us. There's one thing lacking, and that is a demonstration of the supernatural power. Amen. You think you're having trouble getting a crowd? Just let word get out that up at the highway of holiness, there is supernatural power being demonstrated. Things that men cannot do. It's taking place in that church. And God is reaching down with his mighty hand and performing things that's impossible for man. Listen. In a recent revival, there was a young man who was from Germany. I've been preaching some in Germany. Now, if you can't preach without amens, if you can't preach without somebody raising their hand, if you can't preach without somebody saying praise the Lord while you're preaching, if you can't preach without saying come on help me while I preach, if you can't preach, you can't approach those people, because those people are sitting there. Yes, they are. I mean, they're just sitting there. And if you can't preach without all of that, you cannot approach those people. Oh yes. But this boy was from Germany. He was an exchange student living in one of the holiness family's homes that attended that church. And when he, being living with that family, made it almost compulsory for him to come to church. And so he'd come and he'd say, I just don't believe it. I don't believe all that stuff. I don't believe in God. I don't believe that those people are feeling anything. I think that's just all emotion. I don't believe. And the pastor talked to him and said, hey, God's real. He said, I don't believe it. But during the course of this revival, one of the deacons was hurt on the job. He'd come in for a couple nights walking like this. He had an appointment with the doctors. And he'd come in walking like this. About the third night, he came in down like this. I told the pastor before we started the service, I said, I feel like the Spirit of the Lord is wanting us to pray for this man before we start the service. They called him up and the people gathered round and we anointed him with oil and prayed for him in the name that's above every name, in the name of Jesus. Prayed for him. He's still bent over. But all of a sudden he said, "Woo!" Still bent over. Pretty soon the second time, "Woo!" Still bent over. Third time, "Woo!" Straightened up. Took a step. Took another step and another one. And then he started running around the building. Looked over his wife and said, "Tell your dad to call and cancel that appointment with his doctor. That German boy said, now I believe. Now I believe." Hey, if we're going to make believers out of them, we're going to have to do more than just tell them about a God that's real. They must see and they must know that our God is a reality. We can't just tell them that there's a God that fills men with the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost gives power to men. We must show them and demonstrate that power. Once again in the church. Brother Webb, you know what will help you over there in Virginia? If you can have a demonstration. Woo! Had enough preaching there to save the whole county, whatever county that it might be. Amen. But if you can have a demonstration. Woo! I don't know how we're going to do it, Brother Johnson, but if we receive the same Holy Ghost that they received on the day of Pentecost, how many believe we got that same Holy Ghost? All right, then they went everywhere preaching the word. God working with them and confirming his word with signs following. We've got to have a demonstration. My son, I was talking to him the other day. He said, "Dad, traveling with you and mom all those years, I was just a boy." Said, "I've seen the power of God many times demonstrated." But he said, "I have young couples in my church, my age, and some young people who have never seen a demonstration of the power of God." I think that is a tragic thing among the church that claims to have the highest standard. We do, don't we? We claim that we have the highest standard. We claim that we are the holiest people on the face of this earth. We claim that we received the power when the Holy Ghost fell. If that be the case, then I say, Paul, what we need is another message, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but we need a message that's accompanied by a demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. Boy, I'm beginning to feel like preaching here and I'm about to run out of time. Hallelujah. Sister Rich told you about her sickness. When I got home, she was in the hospital. Talk about feeling bad. Been down preaching holiness. Get home and your wife's in the hospital. Two or three doctors around shaking their heads. Her breathing, because one lung, half hemorrhage, half of it was filled with blood. The other one had several blood clots. Just breathing with oxygen. I looked at her. "Lord, Lord, Lord, you got to help me, Lord." We started praying. Others were praying. We sent word all over. Y'all got word up here too, didn't you? Really thank you for your prayers. Really do. One morning, they had a little chapel there. I think it's a Catholic hospital. I'm not sure. Is that a Catholic hospital? Anyhow, they got, anybody can go in there and pray. Got in there and there's some Catholics in there. And I went in there to pray. They was in there going through prayer books and messing with beads. I went in there to pray. I prayed a little while and they picked up and shoveled off. Hallelujah. I prayed. Oh, Shatama Sokaya. I prayed until I prayed. I prayed until the Holy Ghost moved in my soul. I prayed and cried and groaned till people were stopping by the door looking in to see what was taking place. After a while, I got up and I felt some victory. Went in, my wife was laying there, and I said, "Honey, if you can hear me, I think things are going to be different. Get ready to go get me some biscuits and gravy, some ham and eggs. Hadn't been eating hardly anything since I come home. I said, get ready to go get me some biscuits and gravy and some ham and eggs." Left out. Sister Collins came back. Wish you'd have been with me. You have to understand this woman, Sheila, to know what I'm talking about. Walked in that hospital, back into the critical care unit. When I left, she was, when I walked in, she had a strange smile. She looked up at me, said, "Honey, you're not going to get that younger woman after all." She said, "I'm going to live." And live she did. Holy, 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 holy. Hey, we need some more miracles. We need some more of the demonstration of the power. Oh, we need more than just sermonizing. We must have a demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. You're not going to capture this generation with a form and ceremony and a religious service. We must have a demonstration of the power. Whew. I'm just about finished. Leon said, "Dad, I can remember some of them old-fashioned services we used to have in the old church down there on Sim Street where you preached. Where you preached." So I remember we was having revival. And said, "Dad, they was carrying them out 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, carrying people out. Knocked out. Having trouble walking straight. Let the Holy Ghost knock you out." Now I'm not talking about Benny Hinn blowing on you or some of these other liberals praying for you falling over. I'm talking about being knocked out in the spirit. If the Holy Ghost knocks you out, when you get up, you'll walk straight. He said, "I remember putting them in the car, speaking in tongues." Remember that one sister over there? Put her in the car at 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning. She was drunk, filled with the Holy Ghost that night. Took her home. When they brought her back to service, she was still drunk, speaking with other tongues. So we got upset the neighborhood. And they called the police on us and said we were disturbing the peace. So 2 officers come in. And when they came in, Holy Ghost power was falling everywhere. And people were rejoicing. People were being healed. People were being filled. Some were being saved. And there's 3 big old men up there, had their arms locked in each other's arms and jumping in unison, speaking in tongues. Finally, they asked somebody, said, "Who's in charge here?" And they pointed toward me, and I looked back, and one of those officers motioned me back. I went back, and he said, "Are you in charge here?" I said, "No, sir, I am not." "Well, he told me you was the pastor here." "I am the pastor, all right, but I'm not in charge. The Holy Ghost is in charge." He said, "Well, we got a call down to the station, and they sent us out here to stop this. Because it's disturbing the neighbors. Now we want you to stop it." I said, "Nobody sent me out here to stop it. If they sent you fellas out here to stop it, you're the ones got the badges. You're the ones got the pistols on your side. You're the one that's got the designated authority in this city. If they sent you here to stop it, then you stop it." About that time, a Holy Ghost filled sister comes shouting and speaking in tongues. With her head right in the air, got that close to him. Come right by him. When they got to watching her, when she turned the corner, she never looked down. Precisely turned every corner. Go around precisely. They got to watching that. They knew. They looked at that woman, her eyes closed, hand in the air, come to the corner, turn. People everywhere. She weave her way through, never touch nobody. Oh, I like it when the Holy Ghost is in it. I said, I like it when I don't care for a show. Let Parsley and T.D. Jakes take their show somewhere else. Give me the Holy Ghost power. Give me the genuine Holy Ghost power that sanctifies men and liberates them from sin and worldliness and ungodliness. They watched that woman for a while. Nobody there paid them any mind, as if they wasn't even there, for most part. They just too carried away with the third person of the triune Godhead. Pretty soon, the officer motioned me back, and I went back. He said, we've watched, and it don't look like y'all are really doing all that much damage. He said, just tell the people when they leave not to be honking their horns. We're going back to the station. Let me tell you something. We had a demonstration. 2 days later, a man across the street called me and said, hey, preacher, come here. I went there and he had tears in his eyes. He said, I want to apologize for calling the police on you people the other night. I'm the one that did it. Will you forgive me? I said, yes, sir, I'll forgive you. Be careful and don't touch the power of God. Now, I'm just about finished. But oh, if we could have a demonstration here at the Highway of Holiness Church in 1999, talking about closing out the millennium. And of course, there's an argument about whether the millennium is going to close out or do we have to go another year to start a new one. I don't know. I'm not trying to figure that out. And I'm getting all kinds of mail telling me how to fix Y2K and all of that. I'm not worried about that, because before anyone had personal computers, already had my hand in the hand of the man who made the plan. I'm not preaching against computers, but I don't have one. I don't have no videos. I don't have no television. I don't have no VCRs. I don't have none of that stuff. Amen. I'm not interested in it. Amen. But listen to me. If every computer system closes down tonight, when I wake in the morning, I'll still have my hand in the hand of the man who made the plan. For my God is able to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If we could just have a demonstration. Look at all these precious girls that up here singing tonight in this choir. Boy, y'all sing good. I mean, beautiful, sister. I mean, they're really getting with it, putting a lot in it. But what would happen if the Holy Ghost would fall and we'd have a demonstration and we never could move any farther in the service and people would start giving their hearts to the Lord? Hey, Brother Randy, you might not get to preach in the morning if we have a demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me. That is a need. Now, Paul said. Now, Paul had plenty of education. He was not lacking in his education. Neither was he lacking in knowing how to deal with these cultures. But he said, none of the stuff I've got is going to work here in this place. There's only one thing. Oh, Paul used some philosophy. He used some psychology. Yes, he did. You can study and you can find that he pulled some pretty good things on. You just study it and from that point of view and you'll see it. Amen. He used some of that at times. Oh, yes, he knew how. But he said, none of that's going to work here. What we've got to have is a demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell this and I will close. When I first went to the San Blas Islands to preach among the Indian people, when I got there, there was maybe 20 people that came to our first meeting. We tried to lift up Jesus. We had a pretty fair service for first night. Second night, about the same. But after we finished the service on the second night, someone came to our hut and knocked on the door and said, we've got a man who's lying over here in his hut dying. And the witch doctors are over there praying to their gods and they can't help. Can your God help? Now you got to know God. You got to know him. You get put on the spot, you've got to know him. So we went over, and here the hammock was with the old man lying in this hut, in this hammock, dying. Underneath was all kinds of little idols, and Sister Rebecca Waldrop's with me, and she's seen those idols, and Brother Rick's seen some of those idols. They had those idols all underneath there. And they killed a chicken and sprinkled the blood underneath the hammock. And one old witch doctor was at one end of that hammock going through his ritual and chanting, and one was on the other. Now you think you're brave? Well, you get in a place like that all by yourself. See that how brave you really are? They said, the man of the house through the interpreter said, will you pray for this man? I said, no, not until you get these witch doctors out and all their idols out. He didn't like that. He said, it can't be done. I said, all right, bye. Started leaving, the man of the house got my arm and said, we want you to pray. I said, well, move the witch doctors out. Reluctantly, they moved out and moved their idols out. No sooner had they gone, and the brother that was with me, we clasped our hands together just like this, stood at that hammock, and this brother that was with me touched that brow and said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Immediately, the man rolled out of that hammock, stood up, healed in a moment's time. The next night, we couldn't get the people in the hut, had to have service out underneath the stars. And now there's a wonderful church established right on that island. It would have never happened when Philip preached down in Samaria. The Bible said, both seen.